19. Honor walked the winding forest road home, only slowing slightly as darkness began to fall. Runt trotted along beside her, perfectly matching Honor's speed.
I see you slowing down, Runt, Honor said. That's all right, but we're safe. Safer than we were in town, at least. Remember what Father always said. It's wise to fear animals, but animals fear you back. People won't always show you that courtesy.
Their pace slowed further when they approached Kluge's camp. It was getting late. The sun had not fully set, but with the tall tree coverage it might as well have. Honor had expected to hear the awful, tortured sounds and blood-curdling shrieks that Kluge and the bastards generated when they had finished doing violence for the day and turned their attention to making their music. But the woods were strangely quiet. This scared her more than the terrible music would have, because if the bastards weren't making music, then they were doing something else, and she didn't think she wanted to know what. Only as she drew alarmingly close to the camp did she start to see or hear anything. She heard grunts of exertion, occasional shouts of encouragement, and far more frequent cries of fear. She saw the trees painted with staccato bursts of orange light that she now recognized all too well as coming from dragonfire. Honor hunched over to make herself even smaller. She and Runt kept to the far edge of the road, ready to dart into the woods at a moment's notice if they thought they were being pursued. She always worried when she passed Kluge's camp, but at least it was dark, just dark enough that she thought she might not be spotted. As they rounded the corner, she could see that she probably wouldn't have to put quite as much energy into sneaking as she'd feared. Kluge and the bastard's attention was fully occupied. Several of them were pulling mightily on ropes, leaning far over, putting all of their weight into simply standing their ground. The other ends of the ropes were tied around various parts of a horned dragon. The dragon was certainly stronger than any one man, probably stronger than all of the bastards put together. The fact that the bastards had enjoyed any success in subduing the beast at all would have been a testament to the power of coordination and teamwork, if the bastards had worked as a coordinated team. Instead, their ropes looped around whatever part of the dragon they'd been able to lasso, and they each pulled in opposite directions, accidentally leaving the dragon no efficient means of pulling away, as no one direction was away. The whole chaotic mess probably still wouldn't have worked if Kluge himself hadn't managed to get his rope looped and cinched tight around the dragon's mouth. The dragon couldn't open its jaws. That meant it couldn't bite, and when it tried to breathe fire, two intense jets of flame shot out of its nostrils at 45-degree angles, illuminating the forest and confusing the dragon, but missing the rope and its attackers entirely. Honor crept along the edge of the woods, as far from the action as she could, but she never fully took her eyes off the fight. She had no love for Kluge and his stooges. She wasn't fond of dragons, either. Being a decent person, she had a natural tendency to feel sympathy for any dumb animal caught in a bad situation. But that described all of the participants in this conflict. One of the men was shouting,
"Oh no, this is bad! It's stronger than us! What'll we do?"
Kluge bellowed,
"Shut up, heel kick! We'll take this critter down yet! Stretch, gripper! Make sure you're pulling opposite directions! Pounder, LL, you do the same!"
One of the men shouted,
"Why don't you pull opposite, Pounder? Why do I have to?"
Kluge said,
"Because I'm gonna be too busy punching you in the face for questioning me if you don't shut up, long lobes. Only Donny, you— Whoa!"
The bastards pulled the horned dragon in six different directions, using six different ropes, but only one of those ropes was looped around its head. While six of the bastards all teamed up against the dragon's lower body, Kluge fought its head and neck alone. The dragon whipped its head around at the end of its powerful serpentine neck. Kluge lifted off the ground and swung back and forth like a pendulum, but kept his grip, even as he bashed sideways into Pounder. The two of them lay groaning for a second, then Pounder gasped,
"Sorry I got in your way, boss."
Kluge just had time to grunt,
"Watch it next time."
Then he was yanked away again. The dragon threw Kluge as far as he could in one direction and watched him slam to the ground, then threw him the other direction, just to watch him come crashing down again.
"Everybody, ball as hard as you can!"
Kluge shouted.
"Only Donny, you let go of your rope and climb up on its neck! Try to weigh it down!"
Only Donny, the smallest of the bastards, said,
"Yes, boss."
He turned to Gripper, the largest bastard aside from Kluge, and said,
"You heard Kluge. Climb up on its neck."
Gripper said,
"Done,"
and started pulling himself hand over hand toward the struggling dragon. Kluge shouted,
"That's not what I said!"
Then got yanked through the air again. Gripper reached the dragon's leg and climbed on, leaving his rope unmanned. This caused an imbalance in the forces pulling on the dragon, which in turn caused the dragon to spin. It rotated slowly at first, allowing Gripper the time needed to make his way to the dragon's neck, but the other bastards all ran in orbit of the dragon, trying to get it under control. Heelkick shouted,
"Oh no, we're losing it! We're losing it!"
Their running caused them to exert less force on the ropes, which allowed the dragon to speed up. Soon the dragon spun quickly in place. The bastards ran around it as fast as they could. Gripper had his arms wrapped around the dragon's neck, trying desperately not to lose his grip, and Kluge hung from the end of the rope and swung around in a circle like he was riding a deranged carnival ride. Heelkick shrieked,
"Oh no! I'm gonna be sick!"
Gripper slid up the dragon's neck onto its head. His feet swung outward and his body lay between the dragon's horns, over its eyes and onto its nose.
"I let him go!"
The dragon let out a burst of fire through its nostrils, which hit Gripper in the pelvic region. Gripper let go. As he flew outward, Gripper managed to grab Kluge's rope. He slid down the rope and into Kluge. As in any group, some of the bastards were faster runners than others. As they were running in a circle, this meant that after only two revolutions, the men running around the dragon were bunched up in a group. It only took a few more steps before they tripped each other and fell over, but they kept their grips on the ropes. Their ropes wrapped around the dragon's legs, and the resistance of the men sliding across the ground stopped the dragon's rotation and brought Gripper and Kluge to the ground in a heap. The bastards rose woozily to their feet and started pulling on their ropes again. Kluge left his rope to Gripper, walked over to Only Donny, and punched him in the side of the head. Only Donny fell to the ground. Kluge picked up Only Donny's rope and started pulling.
"What was that for?"
Only Donny asked.
"I didn't do it!"
"That's right," Kluge said. "I told you to do something, and you didn't do it!"
Honor was so intent on watching the fight that she nearly tripped over Runt, who had stopped walking and faced away from the battle, staring into the woods, quietly growling. Honor crouched and petted Runt, trying to calm her into silence, but Runt's growling continued, and the little dog's attention remained locked on a specific patch of darkness beyond the tree line. Honor tried to pick Runt up, but she squirmed and dodged, making it clear that if she had her way, all four of her paws would stay on the ground, and that dark void in the woods would continue to get growled at. Honor squinted into the woods, but she couldn't see a thing. Until the dragon fighting the bastards made another attempt to breathe fire. The twin fireballs ascended quickly, briefly bathing the woods in an orange glow, creating two sets of quickly shifting shadows behind every branch and leaf, illuminating the dragon hiding amongst the trees less than 10 feet from where Honor stood. Of course, the instant Honor saw the dragon, she moved. She leapt several feet back, stumbled, and fell on her rear in the middle of the road. The dragon stuck its head out of the trees. Honor silently thanked Hubert for giving her his magical idol. Runt got between Honor and the dragon, growling louder than ever. The dragon looked down at Runt and Honor, then looked up toward the other dragon, still struggling with Kluge and his friends, and quickly withdrew its head back into the cover of the woods. Runt's growling grew a bit more confident.
"The dragon's scared," she thought. "Not Runt, but I won't tell Runt that. If the dragon is scared, that means that dragons can be hurt. And if they can be hurt, they can be beaten. Beaten as in defeated, not beaten as in mistreated, though that's probably possible too. And if they can be mistreated, they can be treated well. And if you treat a dragon well, could you tame it? Maybe even train it. If animals as fierce as bears and bulls can be trained, why not a dragon?
Of course, Honor didn't know that the training often starts when the animal is young, not fully grown. She also didn't know that Jeff conjured the dragons into existence less than a week before, so they were, in effect, still quite young. Occasionally, ignorance works in one's favor. Honor reached into her bag and pulled out one of the scones she had packed that morning for when she and Sunny got hungry. As it happened, Sunny ended up in no condition to eat, and seeing him get that way had caused Honor to lose her appetite. She broke off a large piece of scone and held it out in front of her. She waited, motionless, for another plume of fire, just to make sure the hiding dragon saw her and the food she offered. After a burst of flame, Honor placed the scone on the ground and stepped away. Runt started to go for the piece of scone herself, but Honor held her back, lest the dragon get the wrong idea about what it was being offered as a snack. Runt whined and squirmed, but stopped when the dragon again extended its head from the tree line. The dragon sniffed at the scone, ate it, and receded back into the dark. Honor placed another piece of the scone in the same spot, but this time only backed about half as far away as she had before. She didn't have to restrain Runt to keep her from making an attempt at the scone herself. The dragon stuck its head out, more slowly this time, eyeing Honor warily. It ate the scone, then kept its head out in the open. Honor rewarded its bravery with more scone. She considered trying to pet it, but then both she and the dragon were startled by Kluge shouting,
"You there, girl!"
The dragon disappeared back into the brush. Honor turned around to face Kluge.
"What did you do?"
Kluge shouted, still pulling on his rope with all of his might. It was said in an angry, accusatory tone, because it was said by Kluge, but Honor also heard a hint of awe and confusion in amongst the normal baseline hostility. Honor said,
"What?
How did you get that dragon to come out like that?"
Kluge asked, between grunts of exertion.
"I work with animals."
Kluge screwed his face up in intense effort. He seemed to be having some sort of internal struggle. Finally, he asked,
"Could you help us with this?"
After a moment, he added,
"Please?"
After another moment, in a wrong-headed effort to further ingratiate himself, he added,
"Girl."
Honor said,
"Maybe, but first I have two questions. What are you going to do with the dragon once you have it calmed?"
Kluge said,
"I plan to use it to make the wizards sorry they were ever born."
Honor smiled.
"Second question. Do any of you bastards know anything about baking?"